in chapter 10 tonight, and the passage that we want to read begins with verse 13, where Jesus blesses the little children. Now, it is interesting and appropriate that these two accounts should follow each other, marriage and children. Children are the natural outgrowth of the sacred union of marriage, and a properly scriptural marriage is the only ingredient to happy children growing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so the Lord put these two passages, one following the other. It's no accident that this passage concerning children should follow that concerning marriage. Because when you get the marriage on the right foundation, then the children are going to have the kind of home that they need in order to grow up properly and to get the training they need, the love and discipline and all those things that are so important to their growing up properly. Now, I hope that I can get across to you what the Lord has spoken to me about in studying this passage, because I was made aware of how important little children are to the Lord, and how important it is that we take the time and we, not only in the home, but in the church, to train, to teach those little ones properly. But it is so important that we not only not neglect the children, but that we put the proper training and teaching and instruction into them. Because what they're going to be when they grow up is determined to a large extent by that training. Now, let's read beginning with verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked them that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. That is not strong enough. And we'll see, it says, if you have a Scofield, you'll notice in the margin, it says, moved with indignation. There were some things that upset Jesus. And not many that upset him to this degree. We've seen him upset by the lack of faith of the disciples, by the hardness of their heart and not catching and understanding truth. That disturbed him. That upset him. But here we find him angry with his disciples. Indignation, moved with indignation, would be better than just much displeased, because it's a very strong thing intended here, strong feeling that Jesus had about this. When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. He was moved with indignation and said unto them, stop hindering the children from coming to me. This suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not sounds a little mild the way it is in the King James, but he said, stop it. Quit hindering these children. Quit telling these people not to bring them to me. Stop that, Jesus was saying. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Now, as they were traveling, remember, they're going back south now into Judea, leaving Capernaum. Jesus has, in other accounts, it says he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He's moving now. These are the last months of his life, and he's moving toward Jerusalem and the cross suffering that awaits him there. And having encountered these Pharisees and answered their question concerning marriage, people begin to come bringing their children to Jesus. And I suspect that one mother was bold enough to bring her child, and Jesus accepted it and took it and held it in his arms and put his hands upon it and blessed the child. And some other mother said, "Oh, I want my child to be held by Jesus and blessed." You know how these things. So another one came, and another one came, and another one came. And they just, these mothers started just bringing their little children to Jesus for him to bless. And Jesus was enjoying, obviously, this. And he loved the little children. Here was a chance for him to hold them and to bless them. And so he was taking each one individually and holding that child and blessing it. And the disciples said, this is taking up time. We got to get on the road. We got to get headed down the road. I mean, it's all right if you're going to take up time talking to the Pharisees. It's all right if you're going to take up time, talking to the crowds and the multitudes. But don't waste the time on the little children. I mean, let mamas hold them. Let them be looked at. Now these, I don't know what age these would be, but I'd say probably, it says little children, and as a matter of fact, it says infants in Luke. But in other words, from babies up to maybe age 5 or 6, something like that, maybe not quite that old, but not older children, not older in this case, but the little children. He's taking them, and he's holding them. And blessing them, pronouncing blessings upon them. See? Now, he wasn't baptizing them, like some churches do infants, which is not a biblical, not a scriptural thing. But he was taking them and blessing them. And the disciples thought that was taking too much time or a thing that was wasted time or whatever. They didn't think it was necessary. Now, Jesus said, "Of such is the kingdom of God." Now, I want to think about that phrase for a little bit. Children as a group, he was talking about. He was talking about children as a group are of the kingdom of God. Not just rich children, are not just poor children, and not just the children of saved people. Now this cuts right into this covenant theology that teaches that the children of saved people are saved, the babies of saved people are saved, but the babies and the small children of unsaved people are not saved. This cuts right into that's a false teaching. For here we find that children as a group, children, small children as a group, are such as the kingdom of God. Now, not only children, but all children are in the kingdom. All little children are saved. Well, we say safe, and they are saved. Sometimes we use the word safe because of the fact that as they grow and get older and learn the distinction of right and wrong, then they themselves make a decision about these things. We call that the age of accountability. It's an interesting thing about that age of accountability. It's been one of those things that in different churches at different times has been, I grew up in the Methodist Church, and the Methodist Church felt that the 12 was the age of accountability. Now, I don't know as they were hard and fast to 12, but they said, 12. Now, I don't know whether they let a, say, 11 and a half was saved and, a, you know, 12 and a half was lost. I don't know how they you know, said it, but they said 12. And, of course, therefore, they were very often just like these disciples. And they didn't have any, they didn't have anything to do with children. I'm talking about they didn't deal with them about the Lord and teach them about the Lord if they came forward in a service. I've seen it many times where children, matter of fact, I've been one of them on more than one occasion who as a child came forward. I came forward my last time in a Methodist church service when I was 13. I was so little they probably didn't think I was, or they'd have dealt with me maybe. I don't know. I don't know if anybody there could have dealt with me anyway. They didn't do much dealing. You just prayed through, you know, and they just patted you on the head and said, keep praying, you know, that sort of thing. Many times that's the way it was. But because of this kind of understanding, sometimes, you know, say in the age of accountability, sometimes people did not give the attention to children that they ought to. And that's bad always when a church does not put its prime attention upon the little ones. I mean, when they got to pay attention to the people, the older ones, you know, those men who can pay the bills, they get attention. Those folks that can do the work, they get attention. Those people that can play the music or sing or do other things, they get the attention. And the little children who can do nothing as far as contributing are ignored because they don't have a lot to contribute, you see. And so you can kind of pass over them. And boy, I'll tell you, this is part of the thing that Jesus said, that woe unto them who have offended one of these little ones. We just better be careful about that thing because we'll have to answer in judgment for offending the little children. So not only children as a group, but all children are saved. That is, if small children die, they go to heaven when they die. They're saved. And Jesus said that all people, that is, young people, adults, who do not come to God as little children, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that's an interesting thing. Here we are. We have grown up past, see, we all started out, we all came through childhood. Adam, Eve's the only ones who never were small. They were created with the appearance of age. And so they never went through childhood. All the rest of us started out as babies. And as babies and small children, we were saved. That is, we were not under the condemnation. We had a sinner's heart, but we were not, we were safe. We were not guilty before God. That is, we'd have gone to heaven if we'd have died as small children. That's the reason you have to be careful when you pray, you have a small child that's sick, and the Lord chooses to take the child, we should not, I mean, it may be a grief and a loss to lose a small child, but remember, you know, it's gone to heaven when it dies. And David said concerning his that died, that he will not come to me, but I'll go to him. And I've heard many stories, used to hear these a lot more, where mother had a small child who was sick, and oh, she prayed for his recovery. I remember a preacher telling a story that she prayed so much for his recovery. And oh, she wanted him to recover no matter what. And the preacher said, well, we should pray in the will of God. She said, no, I want him spared. I want him spared. Not, I want him alive. Well, the child lived and was hanged on his 21st birthday for murder. We don't know what's ahead for a child. And if God should take them while they're small, it certainly is a grief to our hearts, but at least we know they're in heaven. Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. And so we grow up, we start out as little children, and we grow up to adults, and as we grow, with each passing day, the door shuts a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. And by the time we get up to teenagers or on up into adult years, we have become so sophisticated in sin, so hardened, you see, till it's hard to reach us. Hard to get the gospel to people today. And you know what you have to do in order to get a person in the kingdom is you have to preach the gospel to them. They have to recognize that they are what God has said they are, a sinner, and under the judgment of God, the wrath of God, they have to recognize that God's a holy, righteous God, and He will not at all acquit the wicked. And they have to recognize that, and they have to repent and go right back down to where they were when they were little children. And wouldn't it be so much better to reach them down here? Wouldn't it be so much better to win them to Christ while they're tender, while they're young? Wouldn't it be so much more to keep the prayers and the warm hearts for them, not letting their hearts grow cold toward them, and keep the gospel before them, the gospel before them in love, praying and seeking the Lord until that moment in time when they receive Christ as Savior before they get the door shut, you know, so hardened, closed from the Lord? That's what God, I mean, that's the proper way. You know, revivals, basically, where we have the, you know, go out and bring in, let's go out, John, on the streets and bring in all the sinners. Well, that's great, and it's wonderful when we see them saved. But how much better and how much wiser it is to win them while they're small. Then you don't ever have to have those evangelistic services to get them in. They're in. They don't have to go out in the world and live in the world and mess up in the world and get hardened. And then maybe some small percent of them will repent and come back to the Lord. I haven't seen any statistics lately, but some years ago I remember a message I used to preach along this line that had statistics. I had statistics at that time. And there is a very, very small percent of people who are saved after age 25. And well over 50%, I forget what the percentage was, but well over 50% of the people that were polled and asked and so forth were saved under 15 and under. See? And very few, some from 15 to 25, but very few after 25. Oh, there's that rare case here and there, just like, for instance, we heard of Randall's mother, and we rejoice when someone like that is brought back and saved. But that's a rare case and a rare exception. You see, the time to reach them is while they're young. The time to win them is while they're young. Folks, I don't want to say this now as something that I think I'm wiser than others or anything of that nature, because I'm certainly not. But that's been the thrust of this ministry ever since we started. ever since we started, our thrust has been, let's reach the children, let's reach the children, let's win the children, let's get them saved young, let's get them saved coming up, so they don't have to repent and go back to become children. Because the only way you can be saved is as a child, so why don't get them while they are children? Instead of trying to get them up here now as adults, now they're hardened, now they've been in sin, now trying to get them to become children again, because you can only be saved as a child. That's the only way you can get into the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is saying here. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. That's clear, isn't it? The only way to get in is as a child. So why not win them? Why not reach them? Why not get them as children? You see, that's why the Children's Bible Club was started to start with. And that's why we need to see that Children's Bible Club expand and grow. We need to pray regularly. I hope you put it on your prayer list and pray regularly for the Children's Bible Club. We need more money to print more books, to find new ways to get these materials out there. We haven't begun to scratch the surface of the churches. And not only are children reached this way, as I told you this morning about the man probably close to my age, maybe a little younger, I don't know just how old Aubrey is, but he was talking about how those stories for children and those messages that Aunt Carolyn gave to children, he was able to relate to that and listen to that, and he heard more gospel that way. And you know, as she'll tell you probably next week, over 50% or close to 50% of her mail comes from adults. And that's wonderful that, you know, adults are being reached as well, but those adults have to come back and be little children. Isn't that interesting that they love children's? It's wonderful that they love children's stories, and those stories are very interesting to us. And so on. So the Children's Bible Club is something we need to pray about. We need to pray for. We need to ask God to bless it. You know what we need in the Children's Bible Club? We need somebody at some point to put some cash into the program so that we can see it grow. In other words, market the materials, make new materials, pay for the printing of those materials, the labor and the help that it takes to do those things, and expand that ministry, see it grow. You know, you realize that this is the 36th year starting of the Children's Bible Club ministry. It was 36 years ago this fall that we used to go around with an old laundry truck and pick up children and take them over to the radio station and have a half-hour live broadcast 36 years ago. See? Some of those that were at the funeral talking about how faithful Roy picked them up and brought them to Sunday school were some of the same ones that we used to pick up every Saturday morning to go over there and put on that live broadcast, you know, there. I never will forget one of those early times. We were coming back on a Saturday morning, and as we were going over here down the road there on the other side of Pond Creek, we saw a mother fox cross the road with a baby in her mouth. And the car scared her. She dropped the baby and ran to the woods. So when we came back, said, stop and let's see if we can find that little fox. We did. Found it laying there. It was covered with ants, you know. And Carolyn got it and picked it up and picked the ants off. We went home and got a bottle and raised that thing till it was grown, then took it back and turned it, got vicious, began to get vicious, took it, turned it loose back out in the woods, you know. But that was 36 years ago that used to go around and pick up the children. And now that Children's Bible Club has been heard by thousands and thousands. We don't know how many have been saved through it. We don't know how many homes have had it in it, the books, the tapes. Churches use it every Sunday. In churches, at least the churches we have contact with through schools and other means, use them in Sunday school everywhere we go. This every week we are down in the, even with those black folks, some of the ladies say, "Oh, we know Aunt Carolyn. We've heard the stories." And we, you know, and everywhere we go like that, you know, people have heard of Aunt Carolyn, heard the stories, and it's all designed to reach the children. You know, there aren't many ministries today for children. You know that? They got Uncle Charlie, and they do some good things. I mean, they tell some moral stories and things, but you don't hear straight gospel like you do in the Children's Bible Club. See, some stations won't take Aunt Carolyn because it doesn't fit the modern picture today of Christianity. See? And so every station won't take it. But most of the churches, there are people in them who want the books and the tapes to use with the children. My, if we had some more money and could get those out and see that expand. We need to be reaching the children. We have in this ministry right here, God has raised up a missionary, Aunt Carolyn, to the children. And we need to be reaching those children. We need to be reaching more of them with the gospel. Now, Jesus said, "Let them come to me, do not hinder them." If they do not come to him, it will be our fault. I mean, those that we have the opportunity to be concerned with, those little children always love to come to Jesus. They were attracted to him. And they still are. It's no trouble telling little children about Jesus. It's no trouble telling little children about his love. Now, the older they get, the less they're interested. The more they're interested in their peer pressure friends, the television, and all the things that are happening somewhere else. But the little children are anxious to hear. And that's where we need to reach them. While they're small, while they're young. Now, Jesus used children as examples, we've mentioned this before, of humility, of service, and of faith. In this particular case, he's using them as an example of those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, using them as an example of faith. I want you to turn back with me to a verse of Scripture we're very familiar with, and we're going to wrap up with this. Train up a child in the way he should go. That's the way the King James reads it, but it can be translated this way. Train up a child in his own way. And even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, it is not train up a child in the way we think he should go, or train up a child even in the way that the child wants to go, but it's train up a child in the way God meant the child should go. Which means this, that God put within the child the way it should go. Now, we're not talking here so much about salvation, but we're talking about direction in a child's life. Now here's an amazing thing. That every little child that is born or that conceived anywhere in the world, no matter under what circumstances, God cares enough about that child to create a spirit for it. You see, we have more parts to us than just the body. One part we have is the spirit. And God gives the spirit. God creates the spirit that goes in every child that's born. Every child that's conceived, we might say. And every child has a different spirit. He has his own personal spirit that makes him unique. Every child's an individual. God doesn't run off like a Ford Motor Company line or General Motors Company or Toyota whatever line where everyone is alike. Every child that God gives a spirit to, He gives a different spirit to, different personality, different talents, different abilities. And what God is saying in Proverbs 22:6 is that it is our responsibility to pray for this child, to watch this child, to observe this child, to see the direction that the child tends to go, to see what his talents are, to see or her what her talents are, to see what God has intended for that child to be. What God has put in him for him to be. And we're to work at developing. That's what the training is. It's training a child in, oh yes, character, certainly, in all the ways of the Lord, yes, and certainly in the ways of the Lord, but more than that, in the ways of the child, what God has put within the child. God wants to use them. God brought every child into the world for a reason and for a purpose. Even these poor children you see in these pictures of television where they show you the hungry children, emaciated, yet every one of them are children, and every one of them God loves, and every one of them have a spirit that God gave them, and every one of them are different. Every child is different. No two children are the same. And so when we're handling children, we're handling precious cargo. I mean, we're handling precious cargo. We're handling what the Lord Jesus is very much interested and concerned about. And whenever there were those who stepped in the way and hindered those children from getting to Him, He was upset about it. And we need to watch out and be careful lest we hinder, lest we get in the way, whether as parents, oh, what a serious responsibility, you know, to take a child and to rear that child and to point that child in the direction that God has put within that child for that child to go. The talents a child has were given to him by the Lord. What abilities that develop as he grows in certain directions and areas need to be developed and trained. If they have talent in a certain area, that need to be developed and trained for the glory of God, for him to use. And every child has some talents, abilities that have to be trained. Now, I think that if we think about children in this light, it'll make a great deal of difference in how we pray for them, how we train our own, pray for Santa Rosa Christian School and these ladies who work with these 2 and 3 year olds, 4 year olds, 5 year olds, 6 and on up, of course, but especially with those little ones that Jesus was so interested in, and said, don't keep them away from me. Don't keep them away from me. Let them come to me. Don't you stand in the way of children coming to Jesus. You'll have to answer for it. You'll have to face his indignation if you stand in the way of children coming to Jesus. Now, I think we should do more than just not stand in the way. I think we ought to help them get to Jesus. I think we ought to have a part in helping them get to Jesus. So don't forget your support for the Children's Bible Club. This ministry has been built in over the years. Its emphasis has been upon children and young people. And I think that God's pleased with that. And I think we need to continue to pray and ask God for leadership and help in reaching the children. Father, thank you so much for this passage where you teach us about the little children. And you said that we have to become like that. I know as a 26-year-old man, I had to become a child again in order to be saved. I had to humble myself and say, yes, Lord, I am what you have declared me to be, a sinner. I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned in your sight. And you brought me low. And oh, I thank you for that. In order to enter the kingdom. And Father, if there's anybody here tonight that's let childhood pass by and they're not saved, Lord, humble them. Bring them down to their knees, their face. Bring them under conviction of the Holy Spirit so that they might see themselves as you've declared them to be and as little children. May they enter the kingdom. And Lord, help us as we have the opportunity to pray and to give and to support the ministry of the Children's Bible Club in its outreach to children. We're thankful, Lord, that you've given that as part of the ministry here. And we don't want to neglect it or forget it. And we want to see it prosper. And we ask you to bless it. And may many, many boys and girls, little children and older children and adults be saved as a result of that broadcast. Lord, help us not to forget how you feel about little children, and never, never neglect them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.